I have a guest joining us this afternoon on the program, and a little story to tell you as a setup to all of this. I was telling a friend of mine, he lives in Oswego County, New York, about the guest's appearance a couple of weeks ago at a 912 Delaware Patriots meeting, which was held at the Millsboro Firehouse, and a massive crowd turned out. And he said, oh, I know who that is. I listen to her on Republic Broadcasting. And so I'm dealing with someone who is what you'd call a radio pro and has a nationwide audience, if not worldwide audience. Maggie Rodden is joining us on WGMD this afternoon, and she's here to chat with us about something called Agenda 21, which is something probably far more sinister than the name implies. In fact, she would very well tell you it certainly is. We'd like to give her a very warm Delmarva welcome and say it's good to have you on the program with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you taking the time to have me on. I truly do.
Well, I was going to say, your presentation a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, information overload, but there was so much material that you covered, people walked out of there just stunned. And I've had friends tell me, I've seen them since at the grocery store and various places, and they've remarked, they'll come right up to me and say, you know, I've been going on the internet and just reading everything I can about this since then, and I'm telling friends and neighbors and people at work, it's just, they're aghast at what they've learned.
Yeah, it's a real mind blower. It's very hard to swallow all of it, because it encompasses every aspect of our lives, Bill, and there really is a plan to truly take control of every aspect of your life from the day you were born until the day you die. And I know that sounds crazy. In fact, your Twilight Zone music was kind of apropos because it sounds bizarre. And I really wish I was wearing a tinfoil hat and that I was just let out of the loony bin last Monday and you just stumbled upon me and I was just some nut job who had great rhetoric. But unfortunately, I'm not a nut job, and what I'm saying is fact, and everybody can check every word that I say. They can check it out for themselves. They don't have to believe a thing I say. They can go and they can do the research, and they can find out the information themselves, and they can make up their own mind.
Well, it's not a secret. Obviously, there's a lot of detail, and this has been around 20 years.
Oh, well, you know what? Honestly, Bill, the plan for this goes back decades, but When Bush Sr. was in office and he went down to Rio de Janeiro for the Year Summit in 1992, and that was held in Earth Summit held in Rio de Janeiro. Bush Sr. went down there, and he brought back the Agenda 21 framework and infused it throughout the federal government, and it's in all the state governments, and it's in your county governments, and it's in your township, too, because there isn't a thing, an aspect of your life that it doesn't involve. And then in 93, when Clinton was president, he started the President's Council on Sustainable Development, and so he just continued with the ball that Bush Sr. had brought back to us. And then when Bush Jr. was president, he continued on with it, and Obama continues on with it. And it really isn't one group. It's not the Democrats doing it. It's not the Republicans doing it. It is both of them who are behind pushing this agenda.
Well, we had a meeting Thursday night in Dover, and we have another one scheduled in Southern Delaware next week where the local state environmental officials are holding hearings on EPA changes and regulations, and there's a lot of discussion that they're literally going to be moving people out of certain communities by not allowing development there. People are discovering when they put in a permit for a septic system that they're jumping through all sorts of hoops. In fact, in some cases, it's discouraging them from building. And it does seem that in many respects that regulators, and maybe they're well-meaning, but that they have a big part of this.
Oh, they have a massive part in it. Whether they are, as Lenin would have described them, useful idiots or not, is absolutely irrelevant, because what they are doing by hook or crook, by making these zoning regulations and these zoning changes that make it, and code enforcement, make it impossible for you to utilize your land the way you so desire to do. And George Washington said that freedom and liberty and property rights go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And so if we look at our property rights here in this country, which truly are unique throughout the world, there is nowhere in the world where you can say you want to buy a piece of land today. You can get that title. You could have it by Friday in some instances. That is unique. And our ability to be able to have property, to own it, to do what we want, affords us the opportunity to generate wealth. And so that is entirely unique throughout the world. Listen, you can go to South America. The odds on you getting a piece of property and getting a title to it so that you could do what you want on it are slim to none. You'd have to grease 1,000 palms, and it may take 20 years, if ever. That's why these nations are impoverished, because they don't have the same property rights that we have historically held here in this country. Listen, I could buy a house, get a little equity in it, use that equity to maybe buy a second house, or maybe I want to buy a hot dog cart, and maybe then I'll make a little money, and then I'll buy a second hot dog cart, and I'm going to get a little more wealth, and so on and so forth. Well, property rights and our ability to use it is critical. They need to take that over to be able to enact their agenda. And so all of these different zoning changes telling you you can't put a septic tank in or you can't drill a well, all of those are being deliberately done, whether the people at the local level, some of them understand it, some of them don't. Doesn't make any difference. The end game is the same, and that is to deny you the right to do what you want to do on your property.
Eventually eliminate all private ownership of property, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Unless for a handful. There still, I would guess, be certain people who will enjoy large estates and the fox hunt.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. See, they're truly the global elitists who are pushing this agenda. Have no allegiance, whether they may by birth be a U.S. citizen or not is irrelevant. They come from all over the world, and this handful of people who truly have all of the wealth, and they control our educational system, they control our banks, they control our government, they control our corporations, they are involved in many of the religions in the world, have been taken over by this handful of people who are pushing this agenda. And so they really do run the whole game, and I call it a game when I really shouldn't. It's a war. It's a war for freedom and liberty versus slavery, and that's what they're about to do. They're about to implement global slavery. It truly is that severe. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's not crazy. It's a fact. All you got to do is do the research.
Have we seen a little bit of that in the news of the last week and perhaps last night as well from some of these ratings agencies, the clampdown?
Well, look at who owns the banks. What is our Federal Reserve Bank? It's the Central Bank of the United States. But who owns the Central Bank of the United States? It's not owned by the United States. It's owned by the people who were behind its formation in 1913, Bill. And those people are J.P. Morgan, Schiff, Mellon, Warburg, Rothschilds, Rockefellers. They are the ones who were behind that formation. And those people who, at that time in 1913, controlled one quarter of the world's wealth. To this day, their descendants and their cronies still control the world's wealth. And so those people who are behind the Federal Reserve Bank are behind this agenda as well, because every nation has a central bank. And all of those central banks, which are private corporations, privately owned, all report to the Bank of International Settlements, which is the apex of all of the banks, and they own that as well. They control the money. I don't know who it was who said, he who owns the gold makes the rules. Well, these people own the gold, and they make the rules.
I one of the big aspects of this is there are people, the United Nations has been involved with that because there are people at the UN who think that there are just far too many people on the planet for the safety of the world. Not long after I took this job in 2007, there was a UN report that said they would like to reduce the consumption of meat around the world, especially in the Western countries where people eat it, to just 2 servings a week, and they wanted to prohibit alcohol production because the grain could be used to, it could be put into other goods to feed the world. But they're essentially telling the Western world you have too much on the plate and you're going to have to take less. That seems to me what this is all about.
Well, they use the environment as the sky is falling mantra. That's the vehicle that they used with this hoax of global warming. They use the environment as the vehicle to advance their agenda. And it really encompasses the environment, equity, which is social justice, which is not equal justice, and our economy. And so you mentioned them talking about you couldn't have meat. Well, UN Secretary General Maurice Strong, when he was, had said that current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class, now I don't know what the affluent middle class really is, involving high meat consumption and large amounts of frozen and convenience foods, use of fossil fuels, appliances, home and workplace air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable. So what does that mean when something's not sustainable? Because UN Agenda 21 is also known as sustainable development. But when something's not sustainable, that means that you can no longer have it. Now, the global elitists will continue to have everything that they have. It's just the rest of the world will be turned into this, we will be serfs living on a global plantation. It will be a fiefdom that they control.
There are other aspects, too. They have to break down certain elements of culture when it comes to, I guess, faith and morals and the traditional values that people have had. Is that part of this, too?
Well, you know, look at the things that have always traditionally bound our nation together. First off, we are a nation founded on Christian values and ideals. That's the basis. Our founding fathers believed for the most part, 99 9/10% of them believed in God, and the foundational documents are based on a Christian ideology. And so what have the things been that have bound us together as a society? First off, we've had men and women getting married. We've had the family unit. We've worked together in the community, and we've worked together in the larger society. So if you look at the advent of what happened in the 60s when you started to have the whole women's lib movement and the burning of the bra, and that became the decimation of the family. And when you had Johnson's Great Society take place, where one of the requirements to get welfare was that there could not be a man in the house. And so prior to the advent of Johnson, President Johnson's Great Society ideology, most kids were born to two parents, a mother and a father, who were married. And so now today what we have through our whole assault on the family unit and those traditional values that have been historically held true since the beginning of this nation, we have now 70% of the kids in the black community are born out of wedlock, 50% of Hispanic kids, and 40% of Caucasian kids are born to single-family households. Now, how did that happen? It happened because there has been a direct assault on our value system, on our family unit. You had women's lib come into vogue. You had commercials that played that told people, I was young, a young teenager in the 70s, and they told you, well, you didn't need to have a man. You didn't need to get married. If you wanted to stay home and raise a family and maybe bake chocolate chip cookies, there was something wrong with you. You were missing it. You've come a long way, baby. You know, you can do whatever you want. Free love, free sex, the whole nine yards. That was the mantra that was pushed at that time. And it worked very effectively to bring us to where we are today, didn't it?
You don't have to walk far to see it down the streets.
No, everywhere you look, that's where it is. Because they no longer push the ideals of family, of marriage. Whoever talks about that, it's not in Hollywood, it's not in the media. Nobody ever says, oh, gee, maybe getting married before you have children might be a good idea to have a stable home environment for that child. I mean, the greatest indicator of poverty is for a child to be born to a single mother. Greatest indicator. Statistics prove that out. I'm not making that up. Look it up yourself.
Our guest is Maggie Rodden, and she's joining us this afternoon and speaking about Agenda 21. It's 1222 on WGMD. One thing you pointed out when you were speaking in Millsboro was that people could recognize this, but it goes by many names. What are the key things people should look for to recognize it, maybe in their local communities?
Well, here's some of the terms that I know they've come across that are warm and fuzzy expressions that are all indicators of UN Agenda 21, which is also known as Sustainable Development, which is also known as Local Agenda 21. When you hear them talking about friends of, action, quality of life, interdisciplinary, international baccalaureate, public-private partnerships, outcome-based education, best management practices, social justice, facilitators, traffic calming, sustainable medicine, historic preservation, visioning, all of those, consensus, action, protect, preserve, all of those little terms that seem, oh, don't they seem wonderful? Protect, well, that's a good thing. Sustainable development, doesn't that sound wonderful, Bill? Well, we want to sustain development. When you look beyond the George Orwellian terms that they utilize to describe the things that they're doing, when you uncover, when you scrape away the surface of it and you start to look deeper, you realize what these terms really mean. And they don't mean anything that you think they mean. They're like George Orwell's 1984, where freedom is slavery and war is peace. That's exactly what you have here with the terms that the words they choose to use to describe UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development.
You had referenced, in fact, during that presentation, I'll point out for people who are joining us today, you and I are both natives of Western New York, and I spent a good part of my life working in radio and television in upstate New York, you referenced something called Syracuse 2020, and I happened to be working there when that project was unveiled, and it was, how shall we put it, strange. They were going to build apparently choo-choo trains to move people around and add bus lines and make all of these alterations. And yet I don't know that they're very far off the ground with it, because one thing about local bureaucrats, a lot of them really aren't skilled. But when you referenced that, I dropped a line to some friends and said, do you guys remember this? And sure enough, I've been told, I've been away from there for many years, that it's still in existence and there are still people who have meetings about this on a regular basis.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that's interesting. I'll tell you how I got involved in this fight, Bill, and it's a funny thing how things work out in life. I was fighting against illegal immigration for several years, and it made no sense to me why our government, especially after 9/11, did nothing to secure our borders or enforce our immigration laws. It made no sense. And then last year I was in a conversation with a man from the United Kingdom who had said the word communitarian to me, and I said, gee, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? And he said, I can tell you that we know all about it here in the European Union, and that we go under something that's called supremacy of communitarian law. He said, you need to look it up, because I can tell you this stuff is going on in the United States as well. So he gave me the name of a woman, Nikki Rapana, and she's the lady, the first person I had on my radio show to talk about UN Agenda 21. She has done research for at least the last dozen years on UN Agenda 21 and all the facets associated with it. She's done copious amounts of research on communitarian law, and it really, what it is a combination of a little bit of capitalism, fascism, socialism, communism, Marxism, you name it. It's all wrapped up together in this agenda that is being played out throughout the world. But so I stumbled upon this, and I had sent an email to a friend of mine. I said, take a look at this. And the light bulb had gone on. Once I looked at what she was doing, I realized that everything that I had been seeing going on, like the Syracuse 2020, I had stumbled across that too. We were doing our research, and we were stumbling across all these different terms, but it kind of hides in plain sight, Bill. We couldn't connect the dots. We would see Syracuse 2020, and then there was the Thruway Alliance in Buffalo, New York. And then you would have first suburbs here outside of Philadelphia, and there was Chicago 2020, and they call it by all these different names because it's much harder to track what they're doing. But then we realized, once I had that conversation with the guy from the UK, my friend and I realized what we had been looking at all this time and couldn't connect the dots was this larger agenda of UN Agenda 21, also known as sustainable development. All of these pieces, why they didn't secure the borders, all of the pieces we were looking at fell into place.
That loose borders, that's really a key here too, isn't it?
Well, you know, it is, because as far as they're concerned, this whole idea of social justice is where it's like George Orwell's Animal Farm, where some animals are more equal than others, and rights will be predicated on a central dispensation of rights to various groups at various times. And so as far as they're concerned, one of the things that they need to do is they truly need to collapse the economy of the United States, because our sovereignty, our property rights, our wealth, what we've had here, which has been unique in the world, really stands in the way of them implementing their agenda. And so the way that they've decided, through a Cloward and Piven type strategy, is, of course, they're going to overwhelm the system. And so there really are no borders anymore, because they do nothing to enforce our borders. They don't enforce our immigration laws. They don't stop anybody. They rarely deport anybody. And so the way to overwhelm the system is just to have millions of people who were sucking off the government teats, so to speak. And they've accomplished that, because I can tell you, in my fight against illegal immigration, they've been saying that there are 12 million illegal aliens in this country now, at least since probably when I started paying attention, which I would have to say was probably around 2002, 2003. And I can tell you, if you look at the number of hospitals that have closed and gone bankrupt in this country, the amount of billions of dollars being spent on social service programs, home energy assistance program, welfare, WIC, Section 8 housing, the amount of money spent on education for people who are English as a second language speakers or children of illegal aliens, it's just billions and billions and billions of dollars. So if you really put those numbers together and look at the cold, hard facts, I would dare say that I bet you we have somewhere between 30 and 40 million illegal aliens here in this country, not the lie of 12 million that they've been saying for probably about 10 years now at least.
We need to take a break, but I hope you can stick around with us for a while.
Oh, sure. Yes, I can, Bill, as long as you like.
Before we get to the break, for people who'd like to know more, your radio show, how can they hear that?
Well, they can go to republicbroadcasting.org. It's Republic Broadcasting Network that I'm on Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It's 11 to 1 Eastern Time. They can go there and they can, via the website, they can listen to the show right online.
I was going to say, it's quite a lineup you have at Republic Broadcasting.
Yeah, I know it.
Well, we'll take a short break. Maggie Rodden is our guest this afternoon, speaking about Agenda 21. We have a check of the marine weather forecast on the way, as well as the local weather. Hope you can stick around. It's 12:30. You're listening to The Bill Colley Show on the Talk of Delmarva, 92.7 FM, WGMD.
Bill Colley, the big dog barks and the big dog bites.
If you're just joining us, we're getting a briefing today on something called Agenda 21. Some of you may have been among those who attended a meeting of the 912 Delaware Patriots a couple of weeks back at the Millsboro Firehouse. In fact, I think there were somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 people in that room. And they heard Maggie Rodden from Republic Broadcasting give some details of this. She had a wonderful presentation. Unfortunately, in radio, we can't offer you the visuals, because the visuals, I think, really, really hit home for a lot of people who were there that evening, and just left them with a complete sense of awe about what's happening. 12:35 on WGMD, and you're listening to the Bill Colley Program, and Maggie and I were chatting during the break, and I know she mentioned that there's sort of an overview that she wanted to mention about all of this. We've spent the first half hour just hitting on a lot of different cylinders, but a couple of things that people really should be aware of, and I'll let you take it from here.
Hi. Let me read about what sustainable development is, and this is the most common definition of sustainable development, and it was in a statement found in the Brundtland Report, which was entitled Our Common Future, which was released during the 1987 United Nations World Commission on Environment and Development. Sustainable development is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Now, what does that mean, Bill? If we have development today that doesn't compromise the ability of future generations to meet their own needs, and then we think about, well, what did they say? Maurice Strong said that current lifestyles and consumption patterns were no longer sustainable, like your car, your single-family home, home and workplace air conditioning, fossil fuels, appliances, frozen and convenience foods. Well, if you look at what their definition, we can't compromise the future for future generations, and that means you're not going to have it today. And since the future never comes with their definition, then the people who are alive 20 years from now, well, they're not going to be able to have it either, because somewhere down the road, a future generation would be denied. If we were to eat meat today, well, someone down the road couldn't have the opportunity to eat meat today. If we have air conditioning today, well, gee, someone down the road won't have the opportunity to use air conditioning. And see how their thinking goes? And so one of the things in 1976 at the Habitat One conference, which was held in British Columbia, they said that land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and it therefore contributes to social injustice, so public control of land is indispensable. And so what they realize, and I mentioned this before, I believe, is that they need to take control of our land, and they need to decide for the collective what will be done on that land. Not that you will get to decide or I'll get to decide, but the collective, the community. Not the individual. And see, our rights, if you look at our Declaration of Independence here in our country, our Declaration of Independence says that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and we have the right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and property. And now when you compare that to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, which says that rights and freedoms may in no case be exercised contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations, and what that means is that the government will grant, restrict, or withdraw your rights according to what they decide. Not that you were born with rights, that you were born with God-given unalienable rights, and that you have, as an individual, have a right to decide what's best for you. With the United Nations, their Declaration of Human Rights, government grants your rights and they have the right to take it away. That's why, for example, our right to free speech, the First Amendment here in this country, is being attacked on a daily basis, because the right for me and you to see, be on this radio show today to speak out against what they are doing, they don't want that. So if you look at what happens with right to free speech in the European Union, people don't have the right to say what they want to say. Otherwise, they are attacked and charged with human rights violations. They will say that they are committing hate speech. You know, they come up with all these different ways that they deny people the right to say what they think. See, the First Amendment is so critical because my ability and your ability to say what we want, whether or not someone is offended, the whole idea of the First Amendment is to be able to speak out. And the fact that someone's feelings may be hurt because of that is really irrelevant. What's more important is the free exchange of ideas, not whether or not someone's feelings get hurt in the process. That's not the purpose of the First Amendment, to keep people from having their feelings hurt. The First Amendment, the purpose is for our ability to speak out and speak the truth and say what we want.
I was going to say, you know, the comments from John Kerry yesterday sort of foreshadow a bit of what they're trying to do. And the Internet, which I think has been a great tool to get the word around. On the other hand, there are now proposals in Washington that would allow the government, they would require your Internet provider to keep a log of all of the sites that you've looked at. And I'll tell you, the threat to privacy that brings along with it, that in itself should be frightening to a great many people.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. See, I look at the Internet and our technology as a double-edged sword. It works to their advantage because, of course, they can listen to our conversation, they can eavesdrop, they can, you know, do all kinds of things, read our emails, so on and so forth. But it's also afforded the people the ability to be able to find information that otherwise would not necessarily be accessible to them. It's afforded us the ability to connect with one another, to really be able to form allegiances and alliances and to put like-minded individuals together. So, I mean, it works to their advantage, but it's worked to our advantage as well, which is why they want to control our ability to have free speech.
Someone told me a couple of weeks ago, in fact, it was one of your regular listeners, that after 60 days, there's a provision that has been put in law. After 60 days, if you leave an email on a server that long, it's no longer private. I mean, a government agent could start looking at those.
I've not heard that, but I have to tell you honestly, Bill, with everything that I realize, and it's just been a mind-blower to come across all of this stuff and this information, nothing surprises me anymore, Bill. It really doesn't. Nothing surprises me. Look, we've got a government now through the Patriot Act, and fear is a great motivator, and fear is a great manipulator, and they realize that. We've got a government now via the Patriot Act used under the guise of, oh, it's going to protect us from terrorists, that they don't need to get a judge to sign off on them eavesdropping and spying on this. Isn't there something in the Constitution that says unreasonable search and seizure? And that, I think it's the Fourth Amendment. I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't go to a judge and say, gee, I've got this kind of evidence, and I want to be able to tap that person's phone or I want to read their email. There's no reason why that they can't go and get that done, but they use the threat of terrorism as the fear tactic to be able to take away more of our rights and assault our liberties. It's a deliberate thing.
Maggie Rodden is our guest, and she's speaking about Agenda 21, and believe me, there are a lot of tentacles to this thing. And folks who'd like to know more could obviously, as she pointed out, they could listen to her program at Republic Broadcast. Is it Republic Broadcast or Broadcasting?
Republic Broadcasting.
RepublicBroadcasting.org, right, if they'd like to pick it up online.
Yes.
And, you know, the one thing about the computer, as you said, the technology is a wonderful thing. But it also, the computerization that we now have in our lives makes it a lot easier for those folks to put controls on us. As you were mentioning air conditioning and people talking about it in the future, and would we? I have a friend over in Cape May, New Jersey. She's given up her air conditioning. She said she's sweating it out because she feels in a few years we're going to be told we can't use it. California, they had what? The demand metering where they were going to be shutting people down because they could see how much power you were using, and if you were using too much, they were going to scale you back. All of these things are just, you know, they're being imposed upon people without a whole heck of a lot of debate.
Well, exactly. And what you mentioned with California, those are smart meters, Bill, and they are implementing smart meters all around the country. And I can tell you, for example, here I'm outside of Philadelphia. Now, the electric company PECO has said, well, why don't you put a smart meter on your air conditioning unit if you have central air conditioning, and we'll be able to help you save money on your bill. And see, that's how they pose a lot of these things that they're going to do. We'll help you save money. And in reality, what it is they will have the ability to shut off your air conditioning when they choose, arbitrarily, not when you want it on or off, but when they want it on or off. And they say when there's a, as they call it, a conservation event, they would be able to shut your air conditioning off for 30 minutes every hour. Well, what does 30 minutes every hour equal, Bill? That equals 12 out of 24 hours. That's half the day you're not going to have air conditioning, and it's going to be based upon what they want, not what you want.
This is similar. I think it's Baltimore Gas and Electric has it's a voluntary program at the moment. But when they hit 106 degrees 2 weeks ago, there were people who'd volunteered, didn't really realize what they were getting into, and found themselves sitting inside homes that were nearly 100 degrees inside.
That's exactly right. See, they push a lot of the stuff that, oh, it's voluntary compliance, and they've hustled everybody with this green mantra, Bill. Everywhere you look is green, 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 and, oh, we've got to save this, and we've got to save the planet, and we've got to save the trees, and, you know, Al Gore's gone around the world, and all his global warming hustle, and it truly is a hustle. They say that carbon dioxide is this evil thing, and we have to eliminate carbon dioxide, and their goal by 2050 is that there'll be, you know, absolutely zero carbon emissions. Well, what is life like without carbon dioxide? Number one, listen, when you breathe out and I breathe out, we breathe out carbon dioxide, and then the plants take in carbon dioxide and they give off oxygen. And so they know from studies that when you have higher concentrations of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, you have greater vegetation and plant life. Plants thrive on carbon dioxide. And I've had scientists on my radio show, Bill, and I've had people from all backgrounds on my radio show talking about this, and I know for a fact from the agenda that they have put together, these globalists who have been behind pushing this agenda, that they came up with the idea of using the environment as the vehicle that they would use. They would use the environment as the vehicle to advance their agenda. And they came up with all this stuff. In 1963, they had a meeting, from Iron Mountain, and they were thinking about ways that they could come up with strategies they could use to be able to control people. And, you know, they've always used war. War is a great motivator, and it's a great creator of fear. And so they used war for a very long time as their strategy to control people, and they wanted something to replace that. And so they were thinking of maybe using UFOs, and they thought, nah, that's not going to work. And then they were thinking of maybe using poor people, and that's when they decided on using pollution and the environment, even if the threat needed to be invented to advance their agenda. And that's what they've done. From that point on, I remember as a kid seeing that commercial on television, and I bet you recall it too, Bill, where you saw the Native American who was sitting astride a horse by a river, and you saw the garbage floating down the river, and the Native American had the tear rolling down his cheek, and you thought, oh, God, look at what we're doing. And in the 70s, it was going to be the new ice age, remember? And then in the 80s, they said, oh, no, there's a hole in the ozone layer. We've got to stop using our spray deodorants and no more aerosol sprays and so on and so forth. Right? And so now we have global warming. No, wait, no, it's not called global warming anymore because, of course, it's not warming. So now they call it climate change. They are masters of the word. They use words. They are wordsmiths, like a blacksmith chews a horse. They are wordsmiths. They will pick out the words that will work to use emotion to help advance their agenda. And most people don't know any different. And why don't they know any different? Because these people have been in control of our educational system for at least 100 years. And I've had people on my show. I had a woman who worked for Ronald Reagan. She was special assistant to him in the Department of Education in his first term in office, and she wrote a book entitled The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. They've been in control of our educational system because their goal is to have good global citizens, global sheep. They don't want people who are educated, who can think, who can be able to say, wait a second, when I breathe out, I give off carbon dioxide, and plants eat it and give off oxygen. Gee, that seems like that's a pretty good thing to me. They don't want people to be able to think that. They want people to be fearful and think, oh no, the sky is falling. Al Gore, you know, we've got smokestacks billowing all this, you know, putrid smoke and all of this pollution, and we need to stop it. We need to stop driving. We can't eat meat. We can't have air conditioning. Otherwise, we're destroying the environment, and it's one big lie. The people who are damaging the planet are these globalists who manipulate money, who control the money supply, who use force and bribery and every other thing available to them to manipulate economies throughout the world. And so why are people starving, Bill? It isn't because the ability to grow food isn't there. It's because the people who control the economies of the world manipulate things, and so they don't care whether some people starve. It's irrelevant to them. In fact, their goal is to decrease the world's population by 80 to 85%.
I've heard that. In fact, there was a scientist in England who said he thought it was inevitable over the course of this century that we would see a huge drop-off in the worldwide population down to maybe 700 million to a billion people.
Well, you know, if you look at the health care bill that was passed, and everybody loves to hate Obama, but listen, Obama and Bush and Clinton and Bush Sr. and Bush Jr., they're all involved with it. So you got to get past the whole Democrats versus GOP paradigm, because that is just a divide-and-conquer strategy they have used effectively to keep us from paying attention to what they're really up to. But if you look at the health care bill and you look at everybody can have an insurance card, but just because you have an insurance card, Bill, it doesn't mean you're going to get any care.
In other words, you've got access to a waiting list.
Exactly. Think about it. Now, Barack Obama's Rahm Emanuel, when he was, his chief of staff, his brother is Ezekiel Emanuel, who's a physician, who came up with this theory, this complete lives theory, I believe it was called, where he did a continuum of care, like if you were looking at a scale from birth to death, and from about age 0 to 15, you would get very little health care resources spent on you because you weren't really a contributing member of society. And then from age 15 to about 40 or 45, that's when Dr. Emanuel decided that's when you would get the most health care resources spent on you, because that's when you were the most viable contributing member of society. And then from, say, age 45 on down, you would get decreasingly less and less and less health care services provided to you. Now, hey, everybody can have a health care card, but they're not going to get services. And if you wanted to decrease the world's population, that would be a great way to start.
You know, there are people, when you were talking about the green energy and our students, and you made a comment during the presentation a couple of weeks ago, one of the reasons that they can't count change when you're at the cashier,
right,
at the register, is because they just didn't learn it. But they're being told about to go home and badger mom and dad about the air conditioner or the size of the automobile that you have in the driveway. There have been people I know who've said that they fear that we'd all be sent to re-education camps. But frankly, I don't think they're going to need them with the younger generations, because the younger generations have already attended them.
Exactly, because I've had people on my show. Beverly Ekman is also an educator, and she's written a lot of books on what is happening with our whole educational system in this country. And it doesn't matter whether you have Goals 2000 or No Child Left Behind, which was Bush's baby that engendered a lot of emotion throughout the country, or you have the school to work program, or you have outcome-based education, or you have Obama's race to the top. It doesn't make any difference what they call it. It's all the same crap that they are pushing, and that is to train kids to be good global citizens. They're not interested in whether or not they can add one and one and get two. They're interested in indoctrinating them to go along with whatever it is they are advancing. And so that's why, because I always wondered about that, Bill. Why can't people make change? It was like, wow, everywhere you go, if you gave them something other than the exact amount, they were perplexed. And I'd think, wow, then I think, well, something's not different in their DNA. These aren't different human beings. What's changed? And then I started to do some research before I became involved with UN Agenda 21, because I was running for school board. And so I was doing some research on the whole educational system. And then I started to realize there that the way they were teaching math today was so difficult and cumbersome. Instead of just a basic 1 + 1 = 2, you know, count two fingers on your hand, they were making it so obtuse and adding all these different steps in. And I thought, well, why would you want to do that? Unbeknownst to me at that time, it was part of this larger deliberate dumbing down agenda that's been taking place. But it just made no sense to me that they would make things more difficult instead of less difficult.
You're living in that Philadelphia region, and boy, that place has had some serious issues. These kids graduate straight to the flash mobs.
Yes.
that are forming around the city and in the suburbs, and using public transportation, we might add, to get from one flash mob to another. And then I happened to read where Mayor Nutter had said, well, you know, we can take care of this with greater surveillance cameras and the like. And I thought, this is playing right into the hands of these people.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. See, because they use a divide-and-conquer strategy. If you look, and we'll go back to Johnson's Great Society, if you look at that whole ideology that they implemented, that there was no longer accountability, you didn't have to be held accountable for the decisions that you made in life. And so we see that play out today, because if you look at here, I was just reading an article this morning, and it was talking about these, and the our black kids who are involved in these gangs, these attacks on white people. No one is being charged with this so-called hate crime, a violation of, as they're not being charged with a hate crime. They're saying, oh, well, if we give more money for social services and that, maybe then they won't do what they're doing. Well, no, I had actually listened to, do you remember the fellow who had started the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa?
Yes.
I was listening to him a couple weeks ago on a show, Bill, and it was great. It really was. He said, what needs to happen with these kids is they need to have they need to eat a few concrete sandwiches, and some of the police officers should whack them with their nightstick and make them realize that, no, you're not going to get away with what you're doing because you're black. You're breaking the law, and this is what's going to happen to you if you continue to do these thug things that you're doing. And then that would stop the kids, wouldn't it? Now, I'm not an advocate of police brutality. I'm certainly not. But you know what? These kids don't have anybody at home who's kicking their rear end and saying, hey, this is how you're supposed to behave, and this is how you're supposed to treat your fellow human being. Nobody is there guiding them. Why isn't anybody there guiding them? Well, let's go back to what happened. To get welfare, you couldn't have a man in the home. So now we have, as I said before, 70% of the black kids being born out of wedlock. What's the great indicator of poverty? Let's see, being born out of wedlock. I mean, when you start to think about these different things, it's like you pull a string on a tapestry, Bill, and you start to, unravel all of this stuff, and you start to really realize what's been going on all these decades. We've been duped. We've been lied to. This whole social justice mantra that you hear all the time, that's not equal justice. Where justice is blind and laws are applied equally, here's a perfect example here in Philadelphia with these so-called flash mobs. They're not applying the law to them.
I've been listening to a couple of the remarks online from Van Jones, who, of course, he's one of the first to claim racism when anything like this comes up. But
right.
He had a comment the other day where he said they've been the Tea Party movement has been demonizing big government, and big government is good. That's the latest mantra, is to tell everyone that all I can remember that line from Orwell, about Big Brother, you must love him. And now we're being told big government is good.
You're sure exactly right. And, you know, like you mentioned, the Mayor Nutter's response is, well, we'll put more cameras up. Cameras aren't going to prevent crime. All it's going to do is deny you and I the right to move around freely without having our government watching every move that we make. That's not the solution to that problem. The solution is to lock these kids up. Let them go to one of these boot camp reform schools. Maybe that'll instill a little respect for their fellow man in them. How about a little plain old discipline? Maybe that would be the answer. Not let's deny other people their right to move freely without being monitored by their government.
Well, I guess you could create a large government program, and they could just have a big timeout room and throw a little bit more money at it.
Well, that's what they'll do. That's what they'll do. They'll throw more money at it, but there won't be any big time out room. It'll be let's hold their hand, and why do you want to go beat up other people? And, right and wrong is no longer taught in schools, Bill. Everything is relative. they don't teach kids there is a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. They teach kids, well, how do you feel about that, Janie? Is 1 and 1 2? No, I think it's 3. What do you think, Bill? Do you think 1 and 1 is 2, or do you think it's 3? Doesn't really matter that 1 and 1 is 2. It's how do you feel about things.
Yeah, no absolutes left at all anymore.
None at all. None at all. There is no right and wrong anymore. Everything is relative, and you and I know there's a right and wrong. But they don't want to teach kids that there's a right and wrong, because then they have no baseline to guide them as to what their choices are actually mean for them. Because there are right choices and there are wrong choices in life.
I was going to ask if you could stick around for a few more minutes in the next hour, because there's one area that we didn't get to, and that was that map that you had a couple of weeks ago at the presentation.
Okay.
Where, we're going to basically have a great portion of the United States. It reminds me of the Forbidden Zone from the original Planet of the Apes, that is going to be off limits to human habitation. And we're coming up on a hard break for Fox News. But what I'd like to do, if you can stick around.
Bill, I can stay for another hour if you'd like. So whatever you want is up to you. It's fine with me. I'm available.
Okay, what I'll do is this will give you a chance to get up and fill that coffee cup. So,
okay.
We'll take a short break for news at 1 o'clock. And quickly, before we do that, for people, again, who'd like to check out your show 5 days a week, right, 11 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yes, on Republic Broadcasting Network, which is republicbroadcasting.org. And I'm actually on Sundays, too, at noon for an hour, and that's on another micro1650am.com. But if they were to go to my website, Bill, which is theunsolicitedopinion.com, they can find out where to hear my show.
All right, we'll talk more about that, too, as well in the next hour. Our guest is Maggie Rodden. She's joining us this afternoon and talking about Agenda 21.
News Radio. News Radio, 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Ocean City, Lewis. The talk of Delmarva. In a previous job, they called him Maximum Leader, Bill Colley, on 92.7 WGMD.
I had a text message just a moment ago, and the message comes in, and it's from a listener who's not anywhere near home today, but says that they like listening to Maggie, and they're listening via cell phone, so they've got internet access, obviously, on the phone, a smartphone, apparently, and they're listening at some distant point, as I imagine are some other friends I told about today's broadcast. It's 106. You're listening to the Talk of Delmarva, 92.7 FM, WGMD. This is the Bill Colley Program. Spending the lion's share of it today with Maggie Rodden. She's joining us, and she's talking about Agenda 21, which, if you're unfamiliar with it, you might want to start schooling yourself. And Maggie, we want to say we're very glad you're going to stick around for a few more minutes with us, or perhaps through this hour, because, gosh, there's a lot to this thing.
Well, you know, that's just it, Bill, and I feel so bad because sometimes I think, oh, I'm so disjointed in what I'm saying. No one's going to be able to follow it. You know, and all I can say to people, Bill, is they need to do the research for themselves. They don't have to believe a word I'm saying. Go look this up for yourself, and then you will know. Then you'll be sure that what I've told you is fact, not fiction. Now, I know when we went to break, you wanted me to talk about the Wildlands network, that map that I showed on my presentation. And if people go to my website, Bill, I actually have my PowerPoint presentation listed up there under, I think, Speaking Soon. I think that's where, Speaking Engagements or something. I think that's where I've got it there. So people can take a look at the PowerPoint if they want to, what you guys saw when you came where I spoke a couple weeks ago down in Delaware. But this Wildlands Network, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, the goal is to move people off at least 50% of the land in this country, and they have two ways that they're going to do that. One is through the Wildlands Network, and what that is on 50% of the land mass, they will allow limited human activity. And then around that 50% land mass will be a buffer zone of anywhere from 10 to 30% of the land mass. And inside that buffer zone, there will be limited human activity allowed. And then where we will be living is in what's called urban growth boundaries. And that means we're going to live inside these urban growth boundaries. And they are boundaries that will limit growth. And outside these boundaries, they won't be providing any services. No electricity, no water, no cable, no phone, no pavement, no nothing. In fact, let me give you an example. In Sonoma County, California, about 6 or 8 months ago, I guess it was, they told the people in the county, they had 1,500 miles of county roads, they told them that they would no longer be paving 1,350 of the 1,500 miles of county roads. So now, if you're somebody who has a home on one of those roads, the county said, ah, we're not going to pave it anymore. What did that just do to the value of your land?
It's like having somebody decide to, build a dilapidated building next door to you with and not mow the grass, I guess, for a couple of years.
Well, exactly. Now, how about you mentioned septic systems down in Delaware? Well, you're somewhere where your house burned down because of a wildfire that took place because you're not allowed to cut down any of the brush that is fuel for a fire. So when the wildfires burn, they're going to burn totally out of control. And it's a deliberate thing because their goal is to drive you off your land. So your house just burnt down because of a wildfire. And they tell you, oh, well, we've rezoned it. You're not allowed to rebuild your house on your property. Or your well ran dry, and they said, we're not giving you a permit to dig another well. So what has that done to the value of your property? They are driving people off their property by hook or crook. They're making all kinds of zoning changes. For example, here where I live, Bill, you have to have a permit to plant a tree. You have to have a permit to cut a branch off the tree, and you have to have a permit to cut your tree down. Now, I've gotten all kinds of phone calls from people all over the country who are being attacked by different zoning regulations, being fined and being cited. I just got something in the mail the other day, ironically enough, from zoning here saying that I needed to cut the trees. They were too low for whatever the height they're supposed to be. I needed to cut them, and I had 14 days to do it. And if I didn't, they were going to put a lien on my property.
Whoa.
Now think about that, Bill. But they're putting liens on people's property all around the country. That's not unique. This is all part of this agenda to drive people off their property. The stuff that is going on from zoning, I call them code Nazis, all around the country is an absolute mind blower. But think about it, because my branch is a little low, you would put a lien on my property? Does that make sense?
It shows you that they can really accelerate this at any time as far as moving us off our property and into these urban ghettos, right?
Well, that's exactly what they're going to be. I call them green ghettos, Bill, because they're using the whole green movement as the mantra to get you into there. And a lot of the different tactics that they're using, let me give you an example. Now, I'm in a highly populated area. A lot of the roads around here, hell, you're in a traffic jam every day because it turns into a parking lot. Why? Because they haven't used the funds that they should have used to fix our bridges and widen our roads. They haven't used those funds to do that. They've diverted those funds and used those funds to buy up open space. Why? Because they've convinced everybody that, we're running out of urban open space. And I say to them, well, have you been in a plane and have you flown from the East Coast to the West Coast or anywhere in between? What do you see when you look down? Open space.
Sure.
You fly from here down to Florida. What do you see when you look down? Open space. We're not running out of open space, Bill, but they're lying and conniving and conning people into thinking, oh, no, the sky is falling. There's no more open space. We need to conserve open space when the real goal is to drive you off your open space. There are a lot of parks in this country where people can't go on them. They've blocked off the road. You can't drive your vehicle onto these federal lands when they belong to you, the citizen of the United States.
This is one of the reasons we're hearing this push for these trains, because we're not going to, not only are we going to be denied private property, but you won't be able to have your own personal car to drive.
Exactly. That's why they're going to manipulate the cost of a gallon of gasoline. That's why they're going to add in toll roads. Look, there are some roads now where you might have, say, an 8-lane highway, where four of those lanes will be real high toll lanes, where if you're willing to pay $10, and how many people can afford to pay $10 to travel down the road one day when your gasoline tax is supposed to be supporting our roads and infrastructure anyway? We already pay taxes into that. But how many people could afford to pay $10 to go one same way. So there'll be a handful of people who can afford to pay that, and the rest of us will be smashed into these into the other lanes, into a parking lot. And it's being deliberately done because they want to make your life miserable. If you're in a parking lot, a parking jam, every morning at 6 a.m., you're going to say, to hell with this, I think I'll take the bus. And then they'll say, oh, I've got the perfect answer. We'll put up a rail, a light rail train system, and you won't have to take the bus. You can just take the train every day. Of course, you're not going to be going that far because they're going to have driven you off their land because they're going to say your tree is too low and we're going to put a lien on your property. And before you know it, that lien will have just become this enormous bill that you'd have to pay, and you can't sell your property and you can't refinance it when there's liens on it.
Boy, you're out on the street.
Exactly.
Now, the Delmarva Peninsula, according to this map, is going to be pretty much vacant.
Well, their goal, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I had Dr. Michael Kaufman, who actually came up with that map that I used in the presentation that people can see. I had him on my show a couple of different times, and people can go and listen to the podcast of that, or they can go to his websites. They can look at this. But he extrapolated this information from a lot of different documents that he read that it was the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity, United Nations Global Biodiversity Assessment, U.S. Man and the Biosphere Strategic Plan, U.S. Heritage Corridor Program, the Wildlands Project, Wild Earth, the High Cost of Biodiversity, and the Border 21 Sidebar of NAFTA. You know, here's another thing that I want to mention, Bill. You know, when you think about what's happening in the economy here in this nation and what's happened with all our jobs over the decades, and you think about all these so-called free trade agreements that they push all the time, and they're always pushing them. Well, if your goal is to redistribute wealth out of this country, what's one of the simplest ways to do it? You create this unlevel playing field so that it's cheaper for corporations to outsource the jobs and have something made in China than it is to have it made here in Tennessee or Delaware or New York or wherever. And you give them tax advantages to do that. And so, of course, if your goal as a CEO of a corporation is the bottom line, and that's what your job is supposed to be, if you run a company, your goal is to make money for the shareholders, then you're going to do whatever you need to do to make money for the shareholders. And when the government makes the playing field in the rules that make it so simple for you to send your jobs out of the country to make a larger bottom line, and they don't put tariffs on goods coming into this country to level the playing field, then if your goal is to redistribute wealth and to move jobs into third world nations, what better way to do it than to design rules and regulations that propel that agenda?
Our guest is Maggie Rodden, and she's joining us to speak today about Agenda 21. I have an email from a friend, and he says he's enjoying the show. He's one of two people I know, at least, who are listening online out of state. He says, I would like to suggest that if people want to listen to RBN's broadcasts, it would be nice for them to help John Stadmiller out by subscribing to the archives for $1.33 per month. He says, I do it. I've given gift subscriptions to others for the archives. He says there is at least 5 years of MP3 archives available for that tiny amount of money. And he said, Maggie is a fine example of what RBN is presenting. And he said, I'd also suggest helping Maggie out if possible. So
I'd appreciate that, Bill.
that might bring us back to your own website.
Well, you know, if they want to go to my website, Bill, and I, if you don't mind, I'd like to give it out. It's three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. If they go there, I have a tab on my website entitled UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, and there's a ton of information. I have links on the main page of my website to a lot of other websites, people that I've had on my radio show who've been in this fight a hell of a lot longer than me. Tons of information. People can do the research. They can look at these things. They can make up their own mind. But all they got to do is take a look around them and see what's the unemployment rate in this country? What's the prospect of jobs coming back? Why are they telling you that there's no open space when you get in a plane yourself and look down and see nothing but open space? Why are they telling you that carbon dioxide is this evil thing when plants suck it in and eat it and give off oxygen, which you as a human being need to live? Why are they telling you these things that just don't make any sense?
He also sent me a follow-up email. He said the growth zones that you're mentioning are also known as kill boxes, oddly
yeah,
enough.
Well, think about what life will be like. So think about it. People really need to to step back and think, okay, now I get in my car. I went out in my car this morning. You get in your car where you go wherever you want to go. Well, now you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to not be in your single-family home. You're not going to have air conditioning. You're going to be in what I call a green ghetto. You're going to be in this multi-use building housing where you're going to be in the small little compact sardine can. You won't have any air conditioning. It's 98 degrees out. You're going to walk or ride your bike or take the train wherever you want to go. So you want to go to the grocery store. Well, won't that be fun? Getting groceries on your bicycle?
And then coming back and what? Carrying them up, you know, multiple flights of a...
Well, that's exactly right. I'll give you an example. It's funny you mentioned that, Bill. In San Francisco and some of the buildings that they've built there, the elevators only stop at every other floor because they want you to use the steps. Just like in New York City, Mayor Bloomberg, what do you do, outlaw salt? They don't have salt on the tables in restaurants in New York City? I mean, who are these people to tell me whether or not I have to eat salt or I can't eat salt or I can't have sugar or I can't have fatty foods? It's not up to them to decide. We are free human beings. It's up to me to decide what I want to eat. In fact, I just ate a jelly donut just on general principle, Bill.
Yeah.
Well, we were on break. I really did. I read it in an article today, and I thought, I think I'm going to have a donut. But, you know, honestly, think about it. We are free human beings, and these people want to enslave us. They want to tell us what to do. They want to tell us what we're going to, how we're going to get from point A to point B. They're going to tell us what we're going to put in our bodies. They're going to tell us where we're going to work. They're going to tell us how much we have to pay in taxes. They're going to tell us that they're going to redistribute our money. They're going to tell us that they're going to take our jobs and our opportunity for a future away from us and give it to some third world nation because that's social justice. Even though they will fly in their private jets, they will drink the best booze, eat the best steaks, and life will never change for them because they are the handful of global elitists, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the J.P. Morgans, the Schiffs, the Mellons. You know when people got all upset and said, well, they bailed out Wall Street? Why did they bail out Wall Street instead of Main Street? I know that sounds like a Democrat argument because that's who was arguing that, but it doesn't make any difference. Think about it. Why did they bail them out? Because they own the game.
Yeah, and we bailed them out.
That's why.
We bailed them out.
Exactly.
There's
exactly.
There's a comment that I read in a newspaper column a couple of weeks ago that said that, for instance, the Chinese, they don't care if we don't get our Social Security. They just want a return on what they've put into this. And a great many, when you reference the lack of air conditioning, these people don't care if you're hot. They don't care if you're hungry. They don't care if you have to walk with bags of groceries up 10 flights of stairs. It's not really, they're not really concerned about all of that.
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, that made me think of how much water you're going to have access to. Now, the average American uses about 125 gallons of water a day. They believe that you should have no more, what is fair and just is you should have 5 gallons, 20 liters of water a day, and that it should take you no more than 1,000 meters to retrieve that water. And 1,000 meters is about a half a mile or so. So now you're not going to have more than 5 gallons of water to drink, to bathe, to cook, to clean with, and now it's going to take you, roughly we'll drink about, most people drink almost a gallon of water a day. You should drink several glasses of water a day because you need water to live. You can't live much longer than 3 days without water. It's critical to sustenance of life. So what will life be like if you only have 5 gallons of water a day, Bill? Think about it.
Yeah, a few sips here and there, and a lot of people are going to have quite a stench about them.
Won't they? I mean, think about it. It's medieval, truly. I saw something the other day. In fact, I wish I had it open. I don't have it open on my computer. And it was talking about the toilet, and the toilet is now this evil thing that they need to eliminate. And, of course, you might recall that all the toilets manufactured now are these low-flush toilets that don't work efficiently. In fact, in San Francisco, a few months ago, I read they have such a terrible stench in San Francisco. And, of course, it's the stench of feces because the low-flow toilets don't work efficiently, so you need to flush them several times, which kind of defeats the purpose of having this low-flow, inefficient toilet. And so they were thinking of putting 1 million gallons of Clorox down into the system to get rid of the stench. And if they just used a toilet, isn't it crazy? If they just used a toilet that worked efficiently, they wouldn't have the problem in the first place. But this article I read the other day was talking about how bad toilets were, and that Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates, had donated $3 million to, I believe it was 6 or 8 universities, to study how they could redesign the toilet.
I when you were mentioning that there will be this elite class that has access to a great many of these things, it reminds me a bit of that old movie, probably 40 years old now, Soylent Green,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
the detective realizes when he's investigating the homicide that the wealthy, that the people who are running the show, that they have meat to eat and no one else does. And I guess that's what we're looking for, this division. The masses will be locked out. These other people will be in their gated communities. And tough. That's the best way you can say tough. That's the reaction.
That's exactly right, Bill. And that Soylent Green movie really was very prescient. Now, will they make human beings into food for the other sheeple? Who knows? I have no idea. I mean, it sounds awfully far-fetched, and it's hard for one to imagine that. But then it was also hard for me to ever imagine that there were other people out there who really wanted to enslave me, who thought that I don't have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that I don't have a right to do what I want to do on my property. I mean, that's hard to imagine that there's other people out there who think nothing of denying you your life, your liberty, and your freedom.
We need to take a break for a couple of messages here, but before we do, your website again?
TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com. 3 words, TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com.
All right, we've got more coming up with Maggie Rodden on WGMD. It's 1:24, the weather in just a moment. We'll also be checking up on the marine weather forecast as well. You're listening to The Bill Colley Show.
Warning, the CDC labels the Bill Colley program contagious. Gloves are required for handling your dial.
There has been a great deal of just material that Maggie Rodden has needed to pretty much present to us today. And that's why I suggested that she join us on a Saturday afternoon where I have a couple of hours where we can just take the time and break all of this down. Now, I've been spending a good deal of the last almost 90 minutes chatting with her. If you'd like to join us, feel free to give us a telephone call now. We're going to try to take some of your calls in the last half hour of today's show, 945-9292, toll-free from out of state, 1-800-518-9292, and #927 on a cell phone. That would be a free call, compliments of Verizon Wireless and Atlantic Cellular, your authorized agent for Verizon Wireless. And you can also drop me an email at BillC@WGMD.com. That's BillC@WGMD.com. And Maggie, it looks like you're going to be a popular woman in the last half hour here.
Okay.
So we'll go directly to the telephones. Hi, you're on WGMD, and who do we have here?
Hi, Bill. Eileen from Long Neck.
Yes, ma'am. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. Is her name Peggy again?
Maggie.
Maggie, I'm sorry. I was running in and outside of the car while I was listening to your show. I agree with you totally on the global warming aspect with the CO2, the increase of CO2 with the vegetation increase, where they're chopping down all the rainforest in South America, for one. And I also commend you for being a patriot and informing us that we're headed for the another USSR.
We are. We are.
Yeah.
We are living in the United States Soviet Republic because we are using a Soviet as a way of no longer having our elected officials be accountable to us, but they are actually implementing what would be little Soviets, these unelected boards who will go around, and they will be the ones who implement all of these different agendas. So it really is the USSR. It's the United States Soviet Republic.
We have another caller with us. You're on WGMD, and I just need you to turn the radio down in the background. And
Let me turn the radio down, yeah.
Okay.
Just a minute.
Sure, thank you. That tell you what.
Yeah, let me turn the radio down. Just give me a second.
Well, give me a call back then, because I don't want to keep wasting our time while we work with that. You can listen to us on the telephone just as well as over the radio. Kathy in Cape May, you're on WGMD. What's on your mind?
Hi, Bill. Hi, Maggie. Thank you for being on. I have people all over the country hopefully listening to you because I sent the word out. And I just want to say two things. I have a friend who lived under Hitler and under communism, and she said that they tried to control small businesses. That was one of the ways of controlling the population. And when you were talking about the flash mobs, and the answer is to put cameras, all I could think of is the answer really is to be able to allow the population to arm themselves, but they don't want to do that. They're going the opposite direction. And I'm going to contact you through your website and get you in contact with my friend, because she also met with a communist, a German communist, back in the 1980s. And the woman revealed to her that Mexico was their launching pad for taking down our country through population.
Well, and they mentioned the sanctuary movement. And one of the things that happened in the last century is 170 million people were murdered at the hands of their governments. And one of the first things that those governments did before they murdered their own people was to disarm them. Whether it was Hitler, whether it was Lenin, whether it was Stalin, whether it was Pol Pot, whether it was Mao Zedong, doesn't make any difference. That's their first method of operation, is to disarm the people. That's why there is such a direct assault on our right, our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms in this country. And the founding fathers put that in there for this reason, so that we would be able to fight off an oppressive, tyrannical, dictatorial government, a regime that had taken over our government. It wasn't so that we could go out and hunt Bambi. It was so that we could defend ourselves and fight off a government that has become absolutely tyrannical.
You are 100% right. And I'd like, when you go and do your talks, could you please let us know what we can do to take these people on and to stop them and bring back our government the way our founders intended?
Well, I would say that all, like the old saying, all politics is local, this needs to be fought at a local level. Even though this is an agenda that is out of the United Nations, because that's where the central government will be, with the United Nations, once they achieve their One World Order objectives, even though this is derived, this ideology comes out of there, and these globalists created the United Nations back in 1945. Even though it comes out of there, everything needs to be fought at a local level. Taking your time to go down to D.C., get on a Greyhound bus, like almost, 2 million people went down to D.C. against the health care bill, and it fell upon deaf ears. So this is a local fight, because they implement it on a local level. You need to get involved. You need to go to all of your meetings. You need to go to your school boards. You need to become a member of the school board. You need to run for office. You can't rely on the people that we've put into the two elected office heretofore to have your back, because they don't this past week. If it's any indication of that, I don't know what else these people need to do to prove to you that they do not have your back. You need to become the candidate. You need to make a lot of noise. You need to let everybody know what it is you know. I don't care if they want to laugh at you and say, oh, you're just a nut job wearing a tinfoil hat. Who cares? Because this is a matter of liberty or slavery. It truly is. Now is the time to stand up.
We want to thank Kathy for the call. Let's try line 3. You're on WGMD with Maggie Rodden and Bill Colley at 133. Who do we have here?
Yeah, hi, Bill. Danny down south of the border. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Bill.
Real simple
question. For Danny,
question.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. A real simple question is the proposals that people are making up in the UN, are they mostly European people, or is it nationalities across the board, Maggie? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer, if you can answer it.
No, it's not. It's not just European people. There's a lot of people participating in this planning process. So it's not just people who happen to be of European descent at all. The people who are behind pushing it are from across the globe.
Want to thank Dan for the call, and we have our next caller joining us. You're on WGMD, and who's this?
This is Don. How are you doing, Bill?
Good, Don. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a little confused here. I'm thinking, we put these people into power, so why do we sit back and let them just do this to us? Why don't we just fire them just like any place else? You know, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing for this country, why do we put up with it? We can stop it.
Well, the way we're going to have to stop them is to become an educated populace, which right now, heretofore, they've been successful at dumbing down the populace. So the way to fight them is to be the candidate yourself. People need to come out of their comfort zone, and they need to stand up. Because I look at it this way, quite frankly. You can either stand on your feet or die on your knees, but there is no in-between. This is a no-holds-barred that we're in. We're not in a game. We're in a war. This is an undeclared war on you, the American individual, the American citizen of this country. It truly is.
I want to thank Don for his call. And we have another caller joining us. You're on WGMD. And who's this?
Hey, good morning, Bill. This is Grizzly.
Russ Murphy joining us, the founder of the 912 Delaware Patriots. Welcome.
Hey, Russ.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much, sir. And thank you, Maggie. God bless you.
Thanks, Russ. How you doing?
I'll tell you, you know, the other day we had a little meeting with the our DENREC people here. And, of course, with the 912, we've been trying to bring the message to the people. We need to fight this on a local level. We need to really take these people that are out there, not just the elected officials, but the ones that are involved in getting these regulations in place, because they're using the different departments to circumvent the Constitution and the laws and pass regulations that are going to impede our rights to liberties and everything else. And, you know, it was amazing, because at that meeting, I spoke about that to the people. And after the meeting, I went up and talked to a young lady, one of the presentators of their DENREC thing, and I asked her about Agenda 21. And you could see, like, a blank stare. Had no idea what I was talking about. And it immediately popped into my head that when you put on your presentation about useful idiots.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate, but ladies and gentlemen, patriots all over Delaware, we need to stand up, because we have these useful idiots that are out there doing what they think is right. They're turning deaf ear and really don't want to hear what's going on. So we need to fight them on a local level. We need to push DENREC back and stop this, what's going on.
Well, we want to thank Russ for his call, Maggie, and, of course, his group's efforts, too.
Oh, I agree. I agree 1,000%, Bill.
And the number 945-9292, toll-free from out of state, 1-800-518-9292. And pound 927 on a cell phone would be a free call. Compliments of Verizon Wireless and Atlantic Cellular, your authorized agent for Verizon Wireless. And, of course, Maggie Rodden is our guest today talking about Agenda 21. And from one Murph to another, this is my neighbor, Murph. Welcome to WGMD. You're on with Maggie.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Maggie, so much. I say thank God we got people like you that can really put the information out that's very easy to understand, so informative, and you tell them, don't trust me, go and look and back it up yourself.
Well, thanks, Murph. I appreciate that, but I want people to do that. They don't have to believe a word I say. All they need to do is go look for themselves. They can believe their own eyes.
Okay, well, I'm going to, three things real quick. You were saying all these different organizations. Well, I have the Club of Rome, which is a national leaders organization that just recently published a report from their committee, and it's called The First Global Revolution. And here's a direct quote from that report. I'll get right to the meat of that one. In searching for a common enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that we, can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. That's a direct quote, Club of Rome. And if you go to the Club of Rome on the website, you can see who the players are. And speaking of players, if you check Trickle Up Poverty, page 88, from Michael Savage, there's a list of the players in the United States, and it is amazing. But
yeah,
thank you, Maggie, and thanks for the time, Bill.
Hey, thank
you.
Oh,
you're welcome. Thank
you. He references some of these people. A lot of these folks, they may not be household names because they're working in academia and the like, but occasionally you see some names that are very familiar, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, who doesn't know Rockefeller?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how could you not know Rockefeller? How could you not know Carnegie? How could you not know J.P. Morgan? I mean, you know, if you've been alive for any length of time, you've heard those names over and over again. Rothschilds, Warburg, Schiff's. I mean, these people are the people who've been behind this agenda. They truly want an empire with them at the helm. It's incredible what these people have done, but they have been in control for decades because they were the robber barons of the 19th century. They would be what we would call today the global elitists of the 19th century. They controlled the wealth then, and so they realized that the way they were going to advance their agenda was to own the politicians. John D. Rockefeller Sr. said that he didn't need to fight in a back alley somewhere. What he was going to do was he was going to own the politicians, and by extension, he would control the government because the politicians would make the rules that would benefit him and penalize his competitors.
Hence, we have Mitt Romney who has this mysterious $1 million donated to his campaign.
Well, listen, all of these people, nobody, let me tell you something else too, Bill, and I think people need to understand this. Nobody gets to be president of the United States unless they are vetted by these globalists through the Council on Foreign Relations, which is an organization that they created. It is an organization of these elitists, and of course there are some people who are members of the Council on Foreign Relations who think it's just this illustrious honor to be asked to join, but the bottom line is no one becomes president of the United States unless these people have decided that they're the key puppet for the day. They're the puppet du jour. That's what these people are.
We have another caller joining us. You're on WGMD next, and you're speaking with Maggie Rodden. Who do we have here?
Yeah, hi, it's Jim down in Ocean View. I'm just trying to pick up the bits and pieces that I've heard about this. Wasn't there a meeting in Brazil?
You have to speak up for me, Jim. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
He's referencing a meeting in Brazil.
Wasn't that where it initiated? And then something that I just read about or heard about recently is that our illustrious Obama has already initialed off on this.
Yeah, in 1992, at the Rio Earth Summit is when George Bush Sr., when he was president of the United States, went down there, and I believe it was 178 countries signed off on this UN Agenda 21, and Bush Sr. brought back the framework, and it was implemented throughout all of the federal departments in this country. It's been infused through the State Departments. When Clinton became president, he continued on carrying the ball, and he created the President's Council on Sustainable Development, which, of course, was tasked with making sure that we were implementing all of the tenets of UN Agenda 21. And Obama's just continuing where his predecessors left off. That's all.
Okay, so he it's just, like you say, a continuation of this. Charade that's being...
Exactly. And one thing I point out to people, because we get so lost in this Hegel's dialectic where they pit one group against the other, it truly is a divide and conquer mentality. And we get so lost and, oh, the Democrats said this and the Republicans said that, when in reality the Democrats are the left hand, the Republicans are the right hand, and they're both connected to the same body, and that body is pushing this agenda. They just approach
it from different angles.
To dupe us,
really
making us think that there's some difference, but there really is. The ideology, is there a difference between liberalism and conservatism? Yes, there is. But there isn't any difference between the people who push this agenda. They're just actors on a stage, and they're playing out their roles to dupe us.
We have another caller with us. I believe this is Frank joining us. Frank, you're on WGMD.
Thank you, Bill. I'd like to ask your guest a question, and I'll listen off the air. And if I've missed this already, I apologize. I've been in and out. You've laid out what's happening. What would you attribute to the motivation for this? Is it merely to consolidate and gain control and power in this world, or would you attribute it to a more biblical motivation and say that it's just evil working in this world? And I'll listen off the air.
Well, I would say if you think about the Book of Revelation, what is described would happen in the Book of Revelation, I think this certainly fits the bill. But I think what their motivation is, would you say it's evil? I certainly would describe it as evil, although there's some people who may not. But I say it's about power and control, and you have to remember from the beginning of time, one man has always sought to control and dominate another man. This isn't anything new that these people are up to. I mean, if you look back historically, there's always been one group who's wanted to rule the world, no matter who it was, Napoleon, the Caesars, etc., etc. They just have, nowadays, we just have the technology to truly make this happen, because the technology exists to truly enslave us, because they can watch and see and know every single thing that we do.
I was going to say, you know, he brings up a point, and your answer to it. Some of these people who are actually behind this literally believe that this is the way that they're going to save the planet. And you know, if they reduce the number of useless eaters and have a more manageable future, they think that they're doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right, because they have no respect for human beings. They have no respect for their fellow man. In fact, if you think about it, the people who want to decrease the world's population, well, they aren't going to be among the group that's decreased, because they need to stay around to control everything and run everything, because they're smarter than the rest of us.
And that's another part of this. You have a group of elitists who think that whenever they walk into a room, they're the brightest person there, and unfortunately, the rest of us, there was another movie I think we could compare to this, and that was when I saw the updated version of The Time Machine a few years ago, where you had the Morlocks who were under control of this albino who could control their minds, and his explanation for his control of the minds was, he said, well, if I didn't do it, they would exhaust the food supply in a matter of days. There's a paternalism behind this. They think that they have to take care of us. The sheeple is the word I often hear used.
Yes, it is sheeple, because they are making sheep out of human beings. They truly are. They want us to just go blindly along and follow whatever it is they say. And, you know, Al Gore is a great one to talk about, you know, the sky is falling, the whole Chicken Little concept. But these people aren't benevolent. For example, Prince Charles, the sustainable prince, he raved. I was reading an article about him raving about how the community was so wonderful in the slums of Mumbai, India. Now, think about what those people live like in Mumbai, India. And he was talking about how we should all aspire to that. Of course, it wasn't him who would aspire to that. It would be all the rest of us who could live like they live in the slums of Mumbai, India. Now, you know what? Poverty could be eradicated in this world, and it doesn't have to happen because we decrease the world's population by 85%. The problem is that we have human beings like Prince Charles and Rothschild and Rockefeller and all these others who want to control and rule and dominate their fellow man, and they are the ones who stand in the way. Despotic leaders are the ones who stand in the way of people actually having an opportunity to get something to eat and to grow their own food and to have a better life. It's not you and I. It's these power-hungry elitists who truly stand in the way of human beings having a morsel of food to eat.
We have another caller with us. You're next on WGMD. It's 148, and a first name, and where you're calling from.
This is Annette in Seaford.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hi, Bill. Maggie, your talk at the 9/12 group was just overwhelming. It was good. It was great. And
thank you.
And I realize the fight on this is at the local level in awareness,
yes,
and education. But ultimately, don't you think this will hit the Supreme Court, because it's terribly unconstitutional? I mean, at some point,
if you look at the Supreme Court decision of Kelo v. New London, which was the one where they said that the government could take property and give it to another private individual,
yes,
relying on our judicial system to have our back, I think, is an erroneous. I think that's not the right way to look at things, because they don't have our back. The Supreme Court did not rule in favor of private property rights in this country when they made that Kelo decision, which I think that was in 2005.
Yes, no, I remember that, and I think that was wrong. But this is I'm always looking for the rainbow somewhere. I'm thinking that this is so extreme that there is going to be, there has to be, a lot of states bringing this to the courts. Now, whether or not, you know, things will be changed so drastically by then, I don't know. But, I don't have a lot of faith in the courts. But I do think eventually it will hit the Supreme Court.
Well, it's being implemented on a local level. They're not necessarily passing legislation, legislative acts. I mean, this whole UN Agenda 21, it was not a treaty. It wasn't passed. Congress never approved of it. It was what was called soft law. It didn't need congressional approval to implement United Nations Agenda 21, the tenets of sustainable development. So it isn't like there's going to be necessarily some legislation. They are making zoning and different ordinances and changing things around that way, and they're going after people's land, and they're just, you know, they're doing different things by nudging them. In fact, who was it that Cass Sunstein, yeah, one of Obama's cronies, wrote a book called Nudge, that the way approach this was not take a big sledgehammer and whack you in the head. They were going to do it incrementally, like an inchworm, slowly.
I want to thank Annette for her call as well, and I think she may have been the individual who booked you for that meeting that night.
Oh, okay.
There may be pockets of where there are people, resistance. Let's say this is implemented, and there are going to be these vast swaths of territory where people aren't supposed to live. But I can kind of see people like Jeremiah Johnson out there living in the backwoods and, you know, under the radar, if you will. That is that, but it's not going to be much of a life. It'll be a very lonely life if that happens.
Well, I would agree, but then if you think about the technology that we have, I mean, will there be a lone person here or there? I'm sure there probably would, because, you know, it's not that important to grab one Jeremiah Johnson out in the mountains of Colorado as it is to capture 1 million people living in the state of Delaware and pushing them into an urban growth boundary, a so-called smart growth city. You know, so will there be stragglers? I'm sure there will. But then they do have heat sensing devices where they can pick you up with infrared, the heat that your body gives off, right?
Sure, yeah. I was going to say they'll move everyone from Delaware to that stretch of Westchester on 95.
You know, but here's another thing, too, though, Bill. What they want to reintroduce into this wildlands, into this wildlands project, are carnivores, and they are already doing that by reintroducing the gray wolf into the system, and there is no predator in nature for the wolf other than a human being with a gun. And so you may be a Jeremiah Johnson out there, but you're going to have different predatory animals out there, and you know, they are already doing that, so it'll be a kind of fearful environment to be living in.
Mr. Obama's name has come up a few times during the program today, and we want to point out to folks listening, it's 1:52 on WGMD. Maggie Rodden is our guest. She's a host at Republic Broadcasting Network. She's also done a great deal of research and has a presentation that she takes around the country, if you will, about Agenda 21. But Mr. Obama, he almost seemed that he came from central casting for this role of this transitional leader. The luster's come off a bit, but mainstream media seems willing to march along to continue that mythological story that goes along with him.
Well, who owns the mainstream media, Bob? This is why it does go back to these global elitists. Because the media, whether it's CNBC or whether it's Fox or ABC or NBC, it doesn't make any difference. The media, the newspapers, they have all been bought and paid for. They have been owned for decades. This same group of people who was behind the creation of the private corporation known as the Federal Reserve Bank own the media. They own our government. They own the politicians. They've taken over our educational system. They've own our corporations. They control it all. So that's why the media can come out and say any of the stuff that it says, because they are told what it is they're supposed to say. Nobody's going to be on the 6 o'clock news who's going to be talking about what I'm talking about. Never happened.
Was Mr. Obama, though, was he really that sort of candidate that they could mold and use? And, I mean, he did this idea of this sort of post-racial candidate who comes along, and he looks to be this unifier in the beginning, and it almost seems like it was too much of a setup.
But look at the whole strategy that's been utilized for centuries, divide and conquer. One group needs to be pitted against another, because then you're busy fighting one another, and you're not really looking at who's creating this animosity between groups in the first place.
I was going to say, for people who've joined us today, some details, maybe to review a little bit about the websites and the various places where, first of all, they can hear your show. Because I know we have people listening today, and that's the one thing about the internet, for the time being, it's providing that sort of alternative to that mainstream message that we're getting. But what's the website again for Republic Broadcasting?
RepublicBroadcasting.org is where you can hear my show. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. You can go there. There are podcasts of all my shows are up on my website. There's links to tons of other websites with a ton of information about UN Agenda 21, also known as sustainable development, also known as comprehensive planning and growth management and smart growth, and on and on and on.
Again, a different name for every community. That's a bit of the confusion they're sowing.
Well, you know, that's why it hides in plain sight, and it's so hard to put all the pieces together. It really takes some doing to figure it all out. It certainly didn't happen to me overnight. It was several years that we've been working at it before. It was just by a fluke that I'd stumbled upon it. Otherwise, I'd still be in the dark thinking, you know, all the different things I was thinking.
I wanted to say very quickly, again, your show airs 11 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then again Sundays.
Right, Sundays at noon. So if they go to my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com, they'll be able to find out where to hear my show. And I hope they do. I hope they listen to podcasts. I hope people check out everything I said and find out for themselves and get into the fight. They need to fight this locally.
And if they do a search on your name, too, they'll find a lot of details about your show. And I think someone's put together some videos, too, of some of your past guests on the air.
Oh, have they? Oh, all right.
It might be some of your guests.
Okay.
You need to ask them about royalties.
Yeah. You know what, honestly, Bill, I'm just interested in not being a slave. I knew in kindergarten I wasn't going to make a good slave, and I'm 54. Nothing's changed today. So my goal is to get this information out there so that the American people have a shot at fighting back. You need to know who your enemy is, and you have to have knowledge to be able to fight back. My goal is to arm people with knowledge.
Well, Maggie, I wish you well, and somebody's got to carry this message on. Obviously, you're getting on their radar. We wish you well because there'll be efforts, of course, to, as we heard yesterday from John Kerry, to silence anyone who doesn't toe the line with the message.
Exactly. Well, you know what, Bill? If we don't stand up, we're all going to be slaves. If the American people don't stand up, they're going to be a slave. There's no in-between.
One more time on your website.
TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com.
And we'd like to thank you so much for taking a good chunk of your day to join us.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate you taking the time to put me on to get this information out there. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care now, and best of luck. Maggie Rodden joining us this afternoon on WGMD, and she's joining us from home today. 6 days a week, she's on the radio as well. So this was her day off, and we'd very much like to say thank you to her for her efforts a good couple of hours in the middle of her day to join us. We have a break for weather coming up. It's 1:57. You're listening to The Bill Colley Show on WGMD.